I'm Michael Dietz. I'll be presenting about origin-bound certificates. This is our fresh approach to strong client authentication for the web. This was a joint work done with my co-authors at University of Washington, Rice University, as well as Google. So before jumping into our solution, let's first talk about the problem. And the problem is client authentication on the web. We have a couple design goals we'd like to consider when trying to design any kind of authentication system for the web. The first of which is an overarching goal, which is we want to provide a familiar user experience. We don't want users to be confused when they're logging in. We want them to be presented with something that they understand. What this generally means is that it's a user experience that works with CAPTCHA and things like two-factor authentication for one-time passwords. That the login page can be skinned and branded so that the user gets the full experience when they log into a page when they first hit it. And unfortunately, that it's probably password-based because we've trained users to understand passwords, to enter them, to kind of use them all the time, and it's going to be very hard to move away from that. We'd like to protect credentials, on the other hand, where we want to thwart password and cookie theft by keeping users from being phished by an attacker. And we want to protect the stored credentials while they're at rest on the server and the client, as well as thwarting active attackers, so attackers that can insert themselves into the middle of a client's connection. In reality, we only really get to pick one of these things in most cases. And for the most part, because companies tend to want people to use their products, they're going to pick the familiar user experience over protecting user credentials as strong as they can. So 99% of the time, we're going to go with the familiar user experience and choose to sacrifice some strong credential protection. So what does a typical login flow look like in this environment? Well, we start off with the client and the server, and they begin by making a handshake. So the client and server initiate a TLS handshake. The server authenticates itself to the client by sending its certificate. The certificate is a proof of ownership of a private key associated with the server's public key. And the only reason this really works is because there's a certificate authority that the client trusts that has signed the server's certificate. At this point, we've got a TLS connection, so we've got some encryption. And the client can pass their username, password, any type of one-time password that they might be prompted for, maybe a CAPTCHA, to the server for authentication. All of this using HTTP and HTML, mostly through forms. Finally, the server is going to set a cookie, an HTTP cookie, on the client, and the client's now authenticated to the server. It's important to point out at this point that the cookie is actually the same as username and password at this point, that it represents the user it's used to log in on subsequent connections. So we've got a pretty good user experience. They're entering passwords. They're dealing with a branded login page. We've got encryption from TLS. So we pretty much solved user authentication, right? Well, no, not really. What if the certificate authority that we're using to authenticate the server is actually untrusted or has been compromised? The client thinks it's talking to a trusted server. Instead, it's talking to an attacker. And as you probably know, this actually happened in 2011 when the DigiNotar certificate authority was compromised and issued fraudulent certificates for websites, including Google. So what the attacker can do now is something called a TLS man-in-the-middle attack. What this means is that we've got a client and a server, just like before, but now we have a man in the middle, which has a certificate, the certificate A for attacker. The server still has its own certificate, S, but the attackers forge the certificate A to appear to be certificate S to the client. We initiate a client hello from client to man in the middle, and the man in the middle is going to start dropping these messages and inserting its own. What it's trying to do is get two separate TLS channels with itself in the middle, so it can read messages passed in plain text. We continue this handshake dance, and eventually there's going to be a trading of certificates. So the server is going to send its certificate to the man in the middle, which it's promptly going to drop. The man in the middle is then going to send its own certificate A to the client, and the client's going to gladly accept this because we're assuming that we have a compromised certificate authority. So now we have two TLS channels set up with the man in the middle, and the man in the middle can read any kind of passwords, cookies, anything being sent over these channels that are eventually arriving at the server. So we have a new threat model that we have to deal with. That an attacker can crack open a TLS channel and man in the middle the TLS handshake and steal passwords and cookies that the user might be sending across this channel. We have to assume an even stronger attacker, where the attacker can steal the private key of the server and present the correct certificate for an endpoint to the client. This circumvents things like certificate pinning that you might use to detect things like the DigiNotar attack. So recall that earlier I said that in reality we have to choose between good user experience and protecting user credentials. So what if we choose to go the other direction? We go for the 1% that we're not using passwords. We're instead choosing to do stronger protections against credential stealing. This is something like TLS client authentication. And some in the audience might be saying, TLS client authentication, what is that? So in the TLS spec, there's actually the ability for a client to send its certificate across the wire after it gets the server certificate. This means that the client can authenticate itself with a client certificate to the server. Browsers actually support this. It's used in intranets a lot, but there's a couple issues that we have to deal with that I'll get to later. But the big protection that this gains you is man-in-the-middle protection. So my claim before is that client authentication like TLS client auth can actually protect a user better than what we have currently. So what does this man-in-the-middle attack that I talked about before look like when we assume that we have client certificates? Well, we assume that the server already knows what the client certificate is, and that there's a man-in-the-middle that's trying to get into the middle of this connection. So the client sends a certificate across to the man-in-the-middle. The man-in-the-middle can't forge proof of ownership of the private key that the client has, so it either has to send the certificate through and be unable to prove it, dooming the connection, or it has to insert its own certificate to the server. So if we assume that it inserts its own certificate and sends it to the server can detect this mismatch between what it expected and what it saw, and abort before the client tries to divulge any kind of secrets along this channel. So I said before that we'd be sacrificing user experience to get this strong protection against man-in-the-middle attackers. So what are the downsides that we're looking at here? And there are a couple of them. So first of all, I mentioned certificate provisioning, that this is easy to do in an intranet where you have, say, a small number of users and can provision certificates easily. It's harder once you scale up to the web where you have many clients trying to connect to many different domains. The browser handles UI for most of this, so there's a UI skinning problem here. We've trained users to expect passwords, so if a file dialog chooser box pops up and they say, well, what am I doing now? I need to select a certificate, I don't know what to do. That's going to confuse our users. Also, there's authentication at the transport layer rather than at the HTTP layer like we've been dealing with. So things like multi-login, where you might try to log in with different accounts to the same endpoint where I can switch back and forth, doesn't really work. I'd have to tear down my entire TLS channel and recreate it with a new client certificate to reconnect as a different user. And I'll expand on these issues of UI that I was talking about. So for certificate selection, when a user first wants to connect with TLS client auth, they might see something like this, where they're prompted with this dialog box that says, this website wants you to connect with a certificate. Please choose what certificate you want to use to this website. This is very confusing for users who have never encountered this before and leads to a lot of trouble with trying to teach users how to deal with this type of dialog. It also brings up other issues like how do you enroll new certificates? Well, you might have to go through a system dialog in, say, OS X and be able to insert new certificates into your keychain. We also have the issue of when should I stop using a certificate to authenticate to servers? If I want to, say, connect to google.com and newyorktimes.com, I might not want to use the same certificate to both of those. We have other issues, like TLS terminators. And the idea behind a TLS terminator is that in a large enterprise data center, we don't really want to use TLS within the data center, that we trust things TLS to be broken once we enter into the data center and then send plain text after that. So apps living behind the TLS terminator no longer get the client certificate and can't use it for authentication and have to put a little bit of trust in the TLS terminator to either communicate this client certificate to them or the TLS terminator has to be modified as well as the applications to understand how to get this new client certificate information. These applications expect to be sending cookies, to be setting cookies to authenticate users, and don't understand this new TLS client auth stuff. So, what if we were able to use something like TLS client certificates but avoid the downsides I just discussed? And with that being said, I'll present our idea, which is TLS origin-bound certificates. So, I'm going to start abbreviating these OBCs off and on, but OBC just stands for origin-bound certificate. And these are different than TLS client certificates in a couple ways. We generate one per origin, so we get an unambiguous certificate per origin that we're trying to connect to. These are auto-generated by the browser on the fly, so on first connection to a new origin, if you don't already have an origin-bound certificate, create a new one. They're also self-signed, and this has some interesting characteristics. We're not identifying the user anymore to the endpoint. We're instead trying to identify the TLS channel that we're using this origin bound certificate to connect over. And this has some interesting ramifications I'll get into later. So what this really means is that we can take this UI for certificate selection, and we can go from something like this, which is what we have now for TLS client auth, and move to something closer to this, which is that there's really no UI. We know what origin we're connecting to. We know that we have one origin bound certificate per origin that we're connecting to. So there's no ambiguity in which certificate we should choose to connect to this origin with. So that being said, I just said that we're not using these origin bound certificates to authenticate the user to the server. So what can we actually do with these origin bound certificates? How are they useful? Well, we can bind cookies to these origin bound certificates in the channels defined by the origin bound certificate. And the key point here, what you really need to understand, is that a cookie that is presented to a server without the corresponding origin bound certificate that was used to create it is useless. So what this means is that if an attacker were to steal a cookie and not the origin bound certificate, it wouldn't be useful to authenticate to the server. And I'll get into how that works in just a second. So let's walk through that login flow that I had before, but introduce origin bound certificates now. So the client's going to send its origin bound certificate across to the server, and the server's going to send its own certificate back to authenticate a TLS channel. So we've got this TLS channel, and the server's actually going to hang on to this certificate, this origin bound certificate that it saw sent by the client. So now we have a username and password that the client shipped across this TLS channel to the server. And the server's going to mint a cookie like it normally would, but it's going to be a little bit different. We're going to use this formula down on the bottom, which basically says that the new cookie is going to be the cookie value that we normally would have minted, but then an HMAC over the cookie value and the fingerprint of the origin bound cert that the server saw on this TLS channel. And it's going to be an HMAC over the certificate, or with the server secret key K, which is unique to each application or server. So that expands out to something more like this. So this is really just an HTTP cookie. It's treated the same by the browser. So when the server ships this client or ships this cookie back to the client, it's going to store it, and it's just going to use it like a normal HTTP cookie. It doesn't really change anything on the client side. The browser is still going to present it every time it visits a new page, or every time it visits the same origin. So what happens now if a man in the middle tries to jump into the middle of this connection where we've already minted this channel-bound cookie? Well, we'll start doing the same dance that we did before. An origin-bound certificate is shipped across to the man in the middle, and the man in the middle is going to substitute its own certificate for the attacker to the server. Server is going to present its own certificate S. The man in the middle, because we're assuming a compromised certificate authority, can present a certificate S prime, which forges certificate S to the client. What we've got now is two separate TLS channels, each authenticated with a different origin bound certificate between client to man in the middle and man in the middle to server. So the client now is going to send its hardened cookie through this man in the middle connection to the server. Upon receipt, the server is going to do a little bit of computation. It's going to look at the, So it's going to jump right here, and it's going to actually redo this HMAC. So it's going to take the cookie value that it sees from the cookie that was sent by the man in the middle, by the client through the man in the middle, and it's going to take the fingerprint of the origin bound certificate that it sees the man in the middle using on this TLS connection and redo this HMAC with its secret key K. So at this point, the server can compare these two HMAC values and see that they're actually very different, that the origin bound certificate that the man in the middle was using to connect is different than the one that the server expected. Therefore, the server can detect that there might be a man in the middle in the way and start to take action against it. This could include things such as going out of band and trying to send an SMS to the user saying, hey, we think that you might be compromised, that someone might be trying to attack you, but we'll kind of leave that for out of the band of this paper for now. So what are the benefits that these TLS origin bound certificates really get us? Well, they get us man-in-the-middle protection. They provide us with a familiar user experience where users are still entering their username and password, applications are still minting cookies, but we're getting a little bit better protection against these strong attackers that we're trying to deal with. We can also harden federation protocols. Anything that really uses a bearer token can be hardened using the same technique. And we prevent cookie stealing, where they can't be exported by an attacker and then used without the corresponding origin bound certificate. So it's important here to note what origin bound certificates don't do. They don't protect initial user authentication. So on the initial credential exchange where the username and password is being shipped across the channel, we don't have an origin bound certificate channel bound cookie set up. So basically, we can still fish a username and password, mint a new channel-bound cookie with an origin-bound certificate of our choosing if I'm an attacker, and then steal a user's account. This is, however, very, very fixable, and if you're interested in this kind of problem and looking into it, I advise you to go look at our follow-up paper that will be presented at CCS about how to strengthen this initial user authentication using opportunistic cryptographic identity assertions. So now I'll talk a little bit about the implementation, because this is actually something that we did build and deploy. It required modification of the Chromium browser for generating and storing origin-bound certificates. We required modification to the OpenSSL server, as well as Mozilla's network security stack. This is to handle the new origin-bound certificate extension. And it required small changes to applications living in the data center. So anything that needs to mint this new origin or new channel-bound cookie needs to have a change to tell it how to do this. So we looked a little bit about at browser performance. And the first thing that I'm going to point out is the initial connection. And this is important because we care deeply about the initial connection to a new origin where we might have to create a new origin-bound certificate. We ran these tests on a mid-level PC with Chrome 19 on a Linux and Ubuntu instance. And for the methodology, I'll just skim through here, but we disabled JavaScript, we disabled Speedy, and we tried to reset the cache and HTTP connections for each run to try to get a dry state. If you're interested in that, I advise you to go look at the paper. So the results we saw look something like this, where the baseline is on the left-hand side there with the no TLS OBC. That's just the baseline for setting up a regular TLS connection. And we see that key size really, really matters here. That for ECDSA, we're seeing that there's a higher latency, and for 2048-bit RSA, we're actually seeing about a second of increased latency for generating this new TLS origin-bound certificate, because this is initial connection when we don't have a cached or created origin-bound certificate. So the key point here is that the key type that we're using for these origin-bound certificates really, really matters. Thankfully, on subsequent connections, it really doesn't matter. So we're actually seeing, again, the baseline is on the left, that after we've generated this origin-bound certificate, setting up the TLS channel using this origin-bound certificate doesn't actually give us much performance slowdown over traditional TLS auth. We also looked at the performance on the servers, specifically our TLS terminators at Google. We ran this with a corpus of real-world requests. We were using variable response delays and sizes, mostly resumed TLS sessions with some fresh ones. And for more details, go look at the paper. So what we saw is that the memory footprint actually increases for 2048-bit RSA. So this is to be expected with larger key sizes, that we might have to keep more memory around. But maybe the bigger factor is that we don't really see much change in the memory footprint when using TLS origin bound certificates when we're using other key types. We also looked at CPU utilization on the TLS terminators. And what we saw is that ECDSA gives us a little bit more CPU utilization just because verification is a little bit more stressful on the CPU than something like RSA verification. And so I said that we implemented and deployed this, so I'll give you a bit of a follow-up on the status of this project. When we initially wrote the paper, we were calling this TLS origin bound certificates. We've since changed it to something called channel ID. Origin bound certificates in general have been a flag on Chromium that you can enable. Since Chrome 16, we're currently up to about Chrome 22 on the dev channel, where this is being reintroduced with the title channel ID. And the reason why we kind of want to bring this up is that we actually had some lessons learned. And if you're interested in kind of the experiences that we had after shipping the paper and seeing how this works in deployment, I advise you to talk to me after the talk. So we deployed this at Google, internally at first, and then trying to expose it to some external users. And we allow for Chrome experiments where we can flip a flag on and actually test out how origin-bound certificates work when real users are using them. So in summary, we established that there's a problem. There's a user experience versus credential protection trade-off when trying to do client login. We think that TLS client auth is actually kind of the right idea, where we want to protect against strong attackers, strong man-in-the-middle attackers that can do a lot of damage and potentially steal our users' credentials. But there are a lot of usability and user experience issues that we see with traditional TLS client auth. So we invented TLS origin bound certificates. These are generated by the browser, one per origin. They provide a much better user experience as there's no real UI presented to the user when selecting a certificate. It allows for channel binding of cookies, where we make cookies harder to export and harder to steal. And this has been implemented, benchmarked, and deployed at Google. I'd like to acknowledge some of the contributors to this paper as well that might not be mentioned in the first slide. I thank them very much for their help and would ask for questions.
We have plenty of time for questions, so that's good.
Great. Brad Hill, PayPal. So I really like the work. I think it solves some really important attack cases against types of cookie theft. But I think your threat model may be wrong when you say it solves the problem of the strong man in the middle attacker, because an adversary that's in possession of either a misissued certificate or is able to compromise the private key of the server, if they have a certificate that looks genuine to the user agent, there's still the same security principle as the legitimate site from the point of view of that user agent. So they don't have to be a man in the middle to be able to attack the user. They just need to be able to ship code that executes in the browser in the context of that origin, which they still have the capability to do even with the OBC concept. So I think there's some further refinements you need to make before you can claim to have solved that class of adversaries.
So if you step back to how the channel binding of cookies works, you actually get some of the same protections by doing this channel binding, where, let me walk back to that slide.
Right, but let's say I let the first connection go through and it loads my webmail page, and then a subsequent connection for an image or a script or an extra piece of resource. I man in the middle of that second piece and I return a compromised script. Now that compromised script is running in a user agent in the context of that same origin. It can access all the data. It can make further requests to the real server. You know, you maybe have prevented theft of that particular credential, but you haven't prevented the attacker in possession of a false certificate from gaining all of the user's abilities and privileges against that application.
That's an excellent point. Yeah, so we're dealing mainly with cookie theft here, and not really insertion of malicious code into a session that is authenticated in this manner. So you are correct that, yes, if you can get a malicious JavaScript running within a user's session that appears to be legitimate and it isn't man-in-the-middle, so if you can do a stored XSS attack, right, and then as the man-in-the-middle...
The point is, if I have a certificate, if I've done the DigiNotar type attack and I have a certificate, I can always, and I'm a man-in-the-middle, I can always interrupt just one connection, ship you compromised code like that, and use that, and then let all the other ones go to the real server and use that compromised code then to drive the user's browser against the real server. So it's, you don't require the presence of an XSS vulnerability in the real site. You can introduce one yourself if you have that certificate always.
Okay. I'd be interested to talk to you about this offline.
Okay. Hi, Stuart Schechter, Microsoft Research. So if I understand correctly, the main thing this prevents is for your cookie to be sent to a server that's a man in the middle that can forge certificates. Now, couldn't you have accomplished the same thing just by, in the same way that we have secure cookies, just have secure cookies where we say, this is the hash of the certificate that it's allowed to go back to, and then you wouldn't need a lot of this complexity?
So let me make sure that I'm getting what you say right. So you're saying that you, in the browser, add code that says that this cookie can only be sent to the certificate with this particular hash.
Right.
So potentially that will get you some of the same guarantees. If you assume that there are very strong attackers that can present the correct certificate, so going beyond the DigiNotar attack to an attacker that can't, because that's kind of the same idea as certificate pinning, right? Where if the certificate that you're presenting appears to be correct, that you can, that you can get around that. So, that's interesting. I don't know if I have a good answer for you right now.
Okay, thank you.
Thomas Spartan, University of Wisconsin. Just a clarifying question. You said you needed to modify the TLS handshake?
We needed to add a TLS extension to the TLS handshake. So this is in the client hello that the client is negotiating for the origin bound certificate extension, yes.
And so what's the compatibility with existing HTTPS servers?
So you have to change the OpenSSL implementation on the server side, as well as the network security stack or OpenSSL implementation on the client side to understand this new extension.
Okay, thank you.
Let's thank the speaker again.